listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate. Forget the worries, throw your problems away. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate.
Show your smile, show your smile, show your smile now.
Everybody, let's celebrate.
Oh, 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 oh.
Everybody, let's celebrate.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. As always, we are delighted that you are with us. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, today is the first day of October, and all month long, we take a look at the medical issue of breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. How many of you are taking part in a run? How many of you are scheduling mammograms? How many of you men are reminding the women in your lives to schedule mammograms? And we are talking tonight to a survivor. Valita Keys started an organization to save women from breast cancer. She joins us tonight from St. Louis. Valita, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
I want to start at the very beginning. You were fairly young, early 30s, when you were first diagnosed with cancer. And I'm saying first because you've been diagnosed twice. Take us back to that day.
Well, the first time I was diagnosed, I was very, very tired. I had just got off of work, and I got the phone call at about 5:27 p.m. I got the phone call, like I said, around 5:27 p.m., and it was my doctor, and she just told me I had ductal carcinoma in situ, which I know that it meant cancer, and I meant cancer inside my breast ducts. But she didn't give me a whole lot of information, told me to call back into the office the next day. So I was on pins and needles throughout the whole night. But I knew I was going to be okay because I had a dream 3 years prior to that I was going to have to deal with this challenge.
Even though you had dreamt that you would face a breast cancer diagnosis, weren't you a little stunned as you stood in your kitchen and listened to the doctor?
Yes, I was very stunned. I was just in a shock. I was just shocked because I just felt like it was an interruption of life. I was headed back to school. I was in school, and it was just an interruption of life.
You said you dreamt that you were diagnosed, that you were going to face this challenge. Your mother had been diagnosed with breast cancer, so there was the hereditary component.
Right. My mom has had breast cancer twice, 20 years apart in the same breast. But since I've been diagnosed, we all been tested for the BRCA2 gene, the gene mutation that lets you know that you have a strong chance of developing breast cancer in your lifetime. So yes, we, my family and myself, we all have the gene mutation, BRCA2, and we all have taken the proper channels to prevent and stay aware of breast cancer.
So after your diagnosis the first time, how was your life changed?
Well, my life has changed dramatically, but it's been for the good. I tell people that cancer has truly done me a favor, and I don't say that in a, you know, sarcastic way. It just has done me a favor. I've learned to appreciate life more. I've learned to give back, and it's just been a fast pace since I've been diagnosed. It's everything has really gone pretty fast for me. It seems like every day is fast, fast, fast. But with all that being said, it's just been a blessing to been diagnosed, but to also been able to give back.
Well, your days are so action-packed because in the midst of facing this medical mountain, you decided to help other people. There's nothing like going through a storm, but while you're in the storm, you stop and say, okay, Lord, let me see if I can help some other people. And you started a nonprofit called Valita's Hope. Tell us about it.
Valita's Hope is, like you say, a not-for-profit organization where one of the main things that we give women recliners that have to have a double mastectomy, such as myself. Once you've been diagnosed with breast cancer and the doctors recommend for you to have a double mastectomy and you go through your surgery, we're at your home within 24 to 40 hours with a recliner so that you can heal comfortable and rest comfortable. And we have given recliners away this year. We drove all the way from St. Louis to Detroit to deliver a recliner back here in June. So we're on a mission to win lives by making sure that when a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer, she has a recliner after that double mastectomy.
It is an amazing story of courage and faith and tenacity. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Valita Keys, the founder of Valita's Hope. We'll be right back.
Village Celebration. Today, you know, is October 1st, which means this is the start of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Joining us tonight is Valita Keys, who is a breast cancer survivor and the founder of a nonprofit called Valita's Hope. So, Valita, you all deliver recliners to women after they have surgery for breast cancer. And when I say you all, I mean primarily you and your husband, Larry. He has really been there from the beginning. Tell us his role and the support you have received from your husband and just how important that is for women.
Well, support is one way of a woman really getting through the diagnosis. Support is everything. And my husband has been there from day one. He's been at all seven surgeries. His words to me is that it's not my fault, and whatever he can do to help me win life, he's there. He makes sure that his truck is ready when it's time. He makes sure that we have the necessary tools we need, and he needs the address, and we're on our way. Once I give him the address to where this woman is living, we're on our way to deliver the recliner so that this woman can feel comfortable and rest comfortable. So that's for my husband. He plays a big part in it. He's at the conferences. He's really aware of, you know, more than the average person, I say, because he talks about it to his friends and just bring awareness on a daily basis. I hear him talking, you know, throughout the community, you know. Uh-huh. Is your wife getting her mammogram? Is you coming to the conference? You know, he's always talking about Valita's Hope.
He's right there alongside fighting with you. You mentioned the conference. You started a conference several years ago to increase awareness. Tell us more about the conference, when you're having it this year, and what those who are attending can expect.
Well, we're actually going to be doing a conference in just a few days here in Flint, Michigan. That is our first conference away from St. Louis, and you know, we're expecting for the women to come out in their pink and pearls, but not just to come out in your pink and pearls, but to become aware and to know your chances and to know what it's like to live with breast cancer. You're going to hear testimonies from women that have actually won the fight or are still fighting. We have panelists with different physicians, Dr. Lannis Hall and Dr. Heidi Miller. We're going to have spoken word. A gourmet lunch will be served. Lots of gifts and live and silent auctions, vendors, you'll be able to shop. So it's just basically bringing awareness in a unique, winning way.
It's educational and it is celebratory. And that's coming up this Saturday in Flint, Michigan. And then you have another conference in St. Louis on October 24th, and that is your home base.
Yes, this is our fourth one, and we are super excited. We have a mobile mammogram that's going to be there. You'll be able to get your mammogram if you want to on this Saturday. You don't have to worry about making an appointment. There are enough appointments being made, so if you want to walk in to get your appointment, you can get your mammogram on that day. But we also will have, again, panelists to speak with you. We'll have a gourmet lunch, spoken word. We'll have women that have experienced breast cancer this year, and they've been fighting, and they've also been winning. Again, we have the live and silent auctions, because this is not only community awareness, it's also a fundraiser so that we can continue to make sure that women have recliners when they're being diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's important.
And then you
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I say, and then you also get a chance to shop. You know, we have different vendors that will be there to showcase what they do in the community as well. So it's going to be live, fun, entertaining, educational for the most part. And it's at Spazio Westport. That's on 12031 Lackland Road. It's from 12 to 4. And we're just excited to bring awareness to the community once again.
You know, several years ago, the Village Celebration interviewed you for our online magazine, and I believe that was right before your first or second conference, and you were putting together the gift bags for attendees in the basement of your home, and now things have just grown exponentially. And to top it all off, you are in this month's issue of Red Book Magazine, and on October 15th, there's a featured article in Heart and Soul about Valita's Hope and all that that you have done. Tell us what that feels like to have taken this enormous challenge and found a way to help others in the midst of it.
Well, the Red Book Magazine article, I am also amazed at that. It's just bringing awareness to the world. This is God basically has shown me that I would be bringing awareness to the world. So I'm just excited about the article. I'm looking to, like I say, just bring awareness to the world in whatever way I can do that. You don't have to be what everybody else is doing, but just bringing awareness to the point that people can know that there's help out here. There's a woman that has been through breast cancer, but she decided to not only go through breast cancer, but to also decided to give back after she has won the fight.
It is truly an amazing story of courage. We appreciate you joining us here in the Village Celebration. Congratulations again on the Red Book article and the article that's coming out in Heart and Soul on your conference this Saturday in Flint and the upcoming conference on October 24th, Valida Keys, Winning at Life. That's the hashtag you use a lot. So thank you again for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is the Village Celebration Radio Show. I have a question for you. How many of you know who Doc McStuffins is? Yeah. If you have small children, you have nieces, nephews, or maybe it's the neighbor kids who have hipped you to Doc McStuffins. She is one popular little girl. Joining us to talk with us about the children's favorite doctor is our favorite doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall. Dr. Di, she's just adorable, isn't she?
Hi, Vicki. Well, you know, I must admit, I did not know a lot about Doc McStuffin. My children grew up around the Barney age, so I have come to know her.
Well, she is just so cute. Do you have a stethoscope like hers? It does all kind of magical things.
I wish it did.
Well, interestingly enough, First Lady Michelle Obama is having her tour of duty, I guess you can say, in the animation ranks. She has a guest appearance on Doc McStuffins to celebrate Child Health Day. Tell us more about Child Health Day.
Oh, okay. I think, from what I've read, Calvin Coolidge may be the president who kind of proclaimed Child Health Day back in the 1920s. And so Child Health Day is celebrated the first Monday of every October. And so, as you know, the First Lady is big on health with her Let's Move campaign. Mm-hmm. She has really focused on child health or overall health for everyone, but in particular children. So with Child Health Day, I am delighted to see that she's with Doc McStuffin. And what this day is, it's really to increase the awareness of ways to help alleviate health problems in our children.
I cannot wait to see that episode, Doc McStuffin and the First Lady. Don't you know that's going to be really, really cute and a classic?
Oh, I can only imagine. And she's so good when it comes to children anyway.
So what do parents need to keep in mind when it comes to the health of their little ones and their bigger ones, you know, in middle school and on into high school? What are some of the key concerns during these years?
Well, I think what we want to pay particular attention to is the overall health and well-being of a child. So that starts during your pregnancy and making sure that if you are an expectant parent, that you're getting proper prenatal care. Care in the womb is very important to the start of a healthy life. Mm-hmm. And then as the child grows, you want to make sure that they are up to date on their immunizations, that they are seeing their regular physician as directed, because infants need more one-on-one time with their physicians than, you know, adults do. Mm-hmm. As you continue to grow, let's not forget our adolescents. So we want to focus on adolescent health. You want to focus on child nutrition, how to prevent injuries, a healthy lifestyle, eating right, exercising right, from the very start. But those are the big things.
And let's not forget sleep, proper rest. Because I think overall in our society, we don't rest enough. I sound like somebody who needs a nap, right? But you do need adequate rest.
Oh, absolutely. You need adequate rest so that you can focus, particularly school-age children, so that when they get to school, they can focus on what's ahead. And a lot of that is going to also to make sure that children start to minimize the amount of time that they are interacting with screens. That means telephones, iPads, laptops. You want to curtail their time on that. Give them some time because they need it, but limit it, maybe 2 hours at a time, and then promote activity in them.
Mm-hmm. Doc McStuffin with the First Lady. What a great role model this six-year-old is for all children, but especially for children in our community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. She's adorable. She's going to talk to the First Lady about exercising and eating right and probably brushing your teeth, all the things children need to hear.
Can you remember being a six-year-old, and were you interested in being a physician at that time? Do you remember?
I don't quite remember at six if I was interested in being a physician, but I do remember just always being the the quote-unquote geeky child. So I love to read and read about nature and just enjoy being outside. So
well,
in that way, I was a little quirky.
Well, that's all right. It worked out. And a lot of people are benefiting from that quirkiness, geekiness, if that's what you want to call it. So Child Health Day on October 6th, the First Lady Michelle Obama joining Doc McStuffin for Child Health Day. Our favorite doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall, we thank you for joining us here in the Village.
As always, it's a joy.
We'll be right back.
Everybody.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. So glad you are with us tonight. Let me ask you this question. Do you save your receipts? Do you have the receipt for the last pair of shoes you bought, maybe last trip to the grocery store? Can you imagine finding the receipt for a family member, a great-great-great-grandmother? Joining us tonight is Todd Perry, whose family owns the receipt, the bill of sale for their great-great-great-grandmother. Mr. Perry, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
This is unbelievable. Tell us how it came about, because the great-great-great-grandmother's name was Harriet. She was sold when she was 8. How much was she sold for?
$245 in the city of Fort Smith, Arkansas. And she was stolen from the Indian reservation, her home and birthplace, by the infamous James Gang. And so, in that era, who would ever thought of a child being stolen, you know, and sold at that era? But what has happened, the particular child was had the compassion of a wealthy white family by the name of Harriet Austin. And they betted her on a horse race here in the city of Fort Smith and then Van Buren, Arkansas. It was amazing because the family that owned her and their descendants today gave me an 1844 real sale of my descendants. And it was amazing because they kept it in a family trunk for many years. And I started to research this project in 1977. I was trying to get some things going. I want to know about my side of the family in the Indian reservation territory, which I thought could be helpful. But when I got into a trunk of my great-grandmother's, I found out there was a story that was written by the Press Argus newspaper in Crawford County, Arkansas, October the 11th, 1956, by an accomplished historian who was white, and her husband on the local newspaper.
So, Mr. Perry, may I just interrupt for a second? I want to go back to this precious 8-year-old who must have been traumatized and terrified when she was stolen.
It had to be something, because who would go and take an 8-year-old child? And this was all in the horse and buggy days of Fort Smith, Arkansas, the Indian Territory, dirt roads, you know, buildings that were just framed. And a child, you know, just, you know, startled, not know what to do, didn't know if she was going to be murdered or kidnapped, but she was kidnapped by the James Gang. And what a way to think about it.
And ultimately, she ended up in what part of the country?
Well, she ended up, after the Austin family bought her for that price, she was the nanny to their daughter, Maud. And she was more of a playmate in this child. And during the era of history, my great-great-grandmother, great-grandmother, Harriet, became the play child of Belle Starr. The outlaw bat wing of the West. And during the journey, they took her to Port Lavaca, Texas. Then she ended up in New Orleans, and then she ended back to Crawford County, where she lived and she passed, where she met my great-great-grandfather, Edward, who was an accomplished African-American, but he was not free. In Arkansas, he was free in New Orleans, but he went back until after the Civil War was over. And then he returned to Crawford County and opened up a barbershop, but his only clientele was the white merchants of Crawford County.
So I want to just dwell right there for a second. So Harriet grew up, ended up in New Orleans, where she married Edward, and the family came back to Arkansas. But he could not travel because he wasn't free.
He didn't have his bill. He wasn't free.
But they stayed together, didn't they? Until he could get to Arkansas.
Yes.
I love that.
And the house is still standing there on Washington Street. It's just an old raggedy shack frame that was their home. The church that she started was the New Hope Baptist Church, and she was, in the story, she was the first black person to teach the slaves to read in Fort Smith and Bayman, Arkansas. And she became a nurse, which a lot of times was a midwife, where she delivered all of the white babies and for the wealthy families in Crawford County. And that was a little living for her. And so she became very influential through slavery. She had just cultivated something that put in our generations, because in our generations, we have a lot of success stories in my family, but then it was through that determination, 8-year-old girl being stolen, and then persevere. And she became friends to this wealthy white family who cared for her and then gave her all of the needs that she wanted until 1910, at the day of her demise.
She was really an incredible child to have survived what she survived, and all of the children who lived through that horrific time in our history. But like you say, that determination flows in the veins of you and the other family members. That fierce resilience.
Yeah, it is, because Donald was the first one to do it. I have to really praise Donald. Donald started this. He was a Barrett, and his family was from Crawford County, and then he went on to be the professor of music at Tennessee State in Nashville, Tennessee, which he was a gifted musician and talent, but he loved genealogy, and he brought this to my attention, and then he died shortly before he completed the task. So by the divine order of the Holy Spirit that we dwell and live on, the white family, Clegg, placed the bill of sale in my hand. And it's just amazing how life and the Holy Spirit and living and knowing how to stay close to your faith and perseverance pays off.
Well, it has certainly what has anchored so many African American families, and I have to say our race in general has been anchored by that faith and that willingness and the ability to press on, just press on through. So your story is encouraging, and it is a reminder of the legacy of an entire community. We're so delighted to have had you join us tonight.
Well, I'm so delighted to share my message, my hope, and my history, that others will follow suit. Whatever history that you have in your family, cherish it, but go on, because there's always something good in the trunk. So we're trying to come now with my further research to complete the puzzle, because now I'm going to next journey to go in the Oklahoma Territory and find who her parents were, and hopefully I can conclude with the other family members that I don't know.
We look forward to hearing the remainder of the story. Again, thank you so much, and God bless you.
And God bless you. Thank you so well. Bye.
This is the Village Celebration.
goal. It's to learn more Bible verses. And so the one that's sticking in my head today starts with, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." I was discussing that around the studio here tonight with Reverend Arthur Hunt, who is the senior pastor of Hunt Memorial Cathedral of Faith, and he has some thoughts on that verse, which is found in Hebrews. Reverend Hunt, thank you for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, and you know, confidence is sometimes associated with pride. Hmm. There's a pride of arrogance, and then there's a pride of dignity. And so the pride of dignity houses confidence. And the Word of God, Philippians 1 and 6 says, "Be confident of this very thing. Mm-hmm. He who has begun a good work mm-hmm. in you," and good work is the key phrase, "he who has begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." And so you got money, but you lose it. You got fame, but you lose it. You've got notoriety in some aspect of what you've done, legacy-wise or otherwise, but you lose it. But the confidence is what you need so that you can always do what God has ordained you to do. So as long as a person has confidence, they can recover and pursue and overcome. And so this is a part of a Pauline principle that is very applicable for everyone. Keep your confidence because that in alignment with faith. Because the remainder of this particular text talks about faith. And faith has a contract in our term, but it's a covenant in a biblical concept that says whatever God says is going to happen, don't doubt it. Because mm-hmm. it surely will come to pass. The just shall live by faith. And so this is a powerful moment for everyone who is pursuing a dream or a destiny. If God told you you could do it, it doesn't matter if it's in your bank account, it doesn't matter if it's in your degree certifications. If God said it, that settles it. Stay focused until the destiny is attained.
That is so encouraging. It's along the same lines of what Valita Keyes said mm-hmm. earlier when we interviewed her, that in a dream she had been told that she would mm-hmm. raise the awareness about breast cancer. And here mm-hmm. she is in Red Book already, and this Heart and Soul article actually is released October 1st today mm-hmm. and not October 15th, so I misspoke earlier. But that's the same thing she was saying about the confidence. I don't know that we always associate the word confidence with our faith, mm-hmm. but it is indeed along the same lines.
Faith is a contract that gives you like a house that you're buying. If you have the contract with the bank and the contractors, then the house is not there, but it is there mm-hmm. because you've done all the certification and all the due diligence.
Now, I like that, Reverend Hunt. That'll
yes.
preach.
Well,
I like that. And so what you're saying is our faith mm-hmm. is a contract, so you can have the confidence
absolutely
that it is done.
It's not there yet, but it's there in the faith realm.
Amen.
And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, you won't please a lot of people talking faith, because if they're not of faith, then they will say it's ludicrous mm-hmm. or it's a something that is not real. But those who are walking with God and who are living according to the will and the word of God just lives by faith. God said it, and he saw it. And so that's the process of God who doesn't change. He says it, and then it appears. And so we who are in his image know that he doesn't change. Whatever he said, it is. And whatever we say according to his word, his will, it will come to pass. So though it tarry, wait for it. Mm-hmm. For it will not lie. It will surely come to pass.
This word confidence keeps cropping up in my life recently. I attended a restoration service last week for someone who is battling cancer. And family members were saying, "We heard what the doctor said, mm-hmm. and we appreciate and respect what the doctor said, but we know what God said, mm-hmm. and our confidence is in God." There was that word again. Then
yes.
someone was praying for me, and they said, "Lord, bless her with confidence."
Mm-hmm. Well, confidence and arrogance sometimes are confused.
Meaning confidence in God, not confidence in myself, but confidence in God.
Yeah, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the psalmist in 24. Mm-hmm. And the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And so when you are talking about what God can do,
right? We're not talking about what we can do. We're talking about what God can do. Confidence in God. Don't put it in me.
Right.
No.
But when you have it in the application that it's not about me, it's not about you, but it's about God in us, the hope of glory. And so we're just instruments. We're just puppetized. God is the puppeteer, we're the puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And so let the puppet do what the puppeteer is orchestrating. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see the beauty of the symphony, of that wonderful artistry at work.
You know, maybe I've missed it, or maybe these are sermons I've slept through, but I don't recall a lot of talk about confidence. Is that because we are human and we might get just a little bit confused about confidence and we don't want to step over into something that is not of God, that cousin, arrogance?
No, not mostly. Mostly it's because people are in a secular worldview, and it's about what I can do. It's about me, myself, and I. And so when you think about what you can do or someone else can do, there's a limitation.
Amen.
Or there's an arrogance that's exuding. And so we don't want to hear arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to go outside of a worldview that is very skeptical. So most people don't dream. The dream that we were referring to in Numbers chapter 12, God speaks to his prophets and his spiritual leaders in dreams and visions. And so when you have a dream or a vision, as we mm-hmm. were talking earlier, then most often in a spiritual container, it is God talking, affirming his word.
Amen.
So that you can sleep on it and you can dream on it and you can make it real.
Amen. That was a blessing. Thank you so much, Reverend Arthur Hunt, who is the senior pastor of Hunt Memorial Cathedral of Faith. I hope you are enjoying tonight's Village Celebration Radio Show as much as I am. Didn't you enjoy that Village verse from Reverend Arthur Hunt of Hunt Memorial Cathedral of Faith? So it made me think of the song Tasha Cobb sings, Confidence.
I know you will. I've got confidence. God can. I know he will.
Producers and I sit down each week to talk about what we will feature during the show. Sometimes there is a common denominator or theme, and sometimes there is not. We just think of stories we think you would enjoy hearing. But I believe today's show had a theme, confidence. So do not throw away your confidence. Whether you are starting a nonprofit, a for-profit, building a family, or you are researching your family's history, keep that confidence that, as Todd Perry said, the Holy Spirit gives you, the Comforter who we know is sent from the Heavenly Father. I've had a great time. I hope you have too. 1st of October, we will spend the month focusing on the health of the women in our community, specifically focusing on breast cancer. If you've not had a mammogram, please get one. And for the men who are listening, encourage the women in your lives to do so as well. I'm Vicki Newton, and you've been listening to The Village Celebration. Thank you for joining us.
Pressed my way through. Pressed my way through. Can't give up now. I must press my way through. Oh Lord, press my way through. Press my way through. God has something waiting if I press my way through. Let me just press my way through. I don't know about you, but I'm gonna press my way through. Said I can't give up now. I must press my way through. Every day I'm pressing my way through. Pressing my way through. God has something waiting. Must press my way through. Pentecostal boy, here's Tony, say.
Press my way through.
Sing it, Tony, sing.
Press my way through. Woo. I just can't give up now.
I need a witness in here tonight.
I've got to press my way through.
Let's go, yeah. Keep on pushing.
Press my way through.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
I've got to press my way through. God's got something waiting, yeah, 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 yeah. I got to press my way through.
Stay right there, stay right. Y'all help me sing. Press my way.
Press my way through.
Y'all can help me sing it, come on.
Press my way through.
Can't give up. Press my way.
Press my way through.
I gotta press my
press
way through.
My way through.
Oh, 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 oh.
My way through.
God got something waiting.
God has something waiting.
Stay right there. God got something waiting.
God has something waiting.
Come on, y'all, help me sing it. God got something.
God has something waiting.
God has something waiting.
God has something waiting.
For every tear you had to shed,
God has something waiting.
Every night you stayed up all night,
God has something waiting.
God got something waiting.
God has something waiting.
Yes, He do.
God has something waiting.
Yes, He do.
God has something waiting.
Yes, He do. Yeah.
God has something waiting.
Hold on. Anybody gonna hold on? I said, anybody gonna hold on? Anybody ever felt like giving up? Anybody ever felt like throwing in the towel? Anybody ever said, I ain't going back no more? But I got good news for you tonight. If you can hold on just a little while alone, touch someone and tell them help is on the way. Come on and tell somebody help is on the way. Woo. Come on and tell them help is on the way. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Help me sing, y'all. God,
God is something waiting.
Oh. Ain't gonna make y'all shout, but that's what you're waiting on. Because when you think, you ought to automatically start to think, y'all ain't sense. God got something waiting. God. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Sing it again, y'all. God is on.
God is something waiting.
How many of y'all been working hard in church? And look like the more you work, the lesser folk appreciate you. Well, I want you to know payday is coming after a while. I said payday is coming after a while. You just remember one thing. God is something waiting.